My name is Alan Morse, and today we're going to start a second part series dealing with sin. A second part dealing with sin. We had just finished in our first part two, and we've already worked it all the way down from Adam all the way till when Christ comes walking on this earth. And we find out, we see that sin continued from Adam to the appearance of Jesus. The only salvation for people of the world was to believe God. You see, they had to believe God. When they didn't believe God, they felt the wrath of God. Example, Abraham believed God, thus he was counted as righteousness. And Abraham's seed was with the primary focus of God, and many works were put in place to bring the seed of Abraham to a closer walk with God. Example, the animal sacrifices, the Ark of the Covenant, the law, plus many laws dealing with daily walk of the seed of Abraham. All these here were trying to bring the seed of Abraham closer to God. But God, he wasn't satisfied because the people were a long ways from being really godly people that God wanted. Thus, the sin problem had to be taken care of. So we see that God, which got together with the Lord Jesus Christ in times past, and they decided that they were going to, that the Son of God was going to take on a human body, and he was going to come to this earth. And he would be born of a virgin, because he had to be a virgin, because he had to be perfect. And so he couldn't be born by a human being, because a human being passes down the sin nature. So it had to be of God. So when he walked on this earth, he'd be perfect, because he was going to be eventually, he was going to have to die to pay the sin debt for mankind. It was just to be kind of like a picture of what happened before. See, they had to have a sacrifice, and the animal had to be perfect, see. So God had to send his son to be perfect, to pay the sin debt for everybody, for everybody. Let's look at Romans chapter 5. Get your pencils and papers out and write these things down. Romans chapter 5. Let's look at verses 6. It says, "For when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly." And look at verses 10. It said, verses 8. "But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood." You see, he's the one that now died on that cross. It's his blood that's being shed, not an animal. His blood. "We shall be justified. We shall be saved from the wrath through him." We'll be saved from the wrath of God. People don't understand the wrath of God is on everybody today who do not believe the gospel. You see, all he asks us to do is believe that his son died on that cross to pay for our sins, and that he was buried and rose from the dead. And when we believe that, we are justified. We are made perfect, and God's wrath will not come upon us because we believe the gospel. We believe this gospel. It's just almost the most important thing of our life, because if we don't, we'll have the wrath of God upon us. And that's the last thing that we want to do. You see, Christ died to pay the sin debt for everybody. But in order to make that work for you, you have to believe he did it. That's all he's asking us to do. He's done it all. He's paid for everything. He's paid for every sin that you've ever committed or will commit. You see, all he asks you to do is believe that he did. And that's the gospel, that Christ died for your sins, that he was buried, and he rose from the dead. Okay, Jesus, when he died on that cross, he left. He was here for 40 days, and then he had over 500 people had saw him after he died on that cross, that he rose from the dead. And when he left, he told the disciples to hold still, because he was going to send the Holy Spirit to them, and that was at Pentecost. And it exactly happened that way. And they were all together, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they became totally new people. They've been scared to death all the way up to this time. But when the Holy Spirit came, they went out and preached their hearts out the gospel of the kingdom. See, the gospel of the kingdom is that Jesus was the Messiah. These were Jews, of course. And they only preached to Jews. They didn't preach to Gentiles. They just preached to Jews this gospel of the kingdom. At the same time, obviously, the church didn't start at Pentecost because they knew nothing about Pentecost. But nothing about the church. The 12 didn't know anything about the church. They had no idea that there was going to be a new body of Christ, a new church. They had no idea that God was going to set aside the Jewish church, the Jewish synagogues, and their whole way of life was going to be set apart. Totally set apart because they totally turned their back on the Messiah. They didn't know that. They never heard of the gospel of the grace. They never heard of the body of Christ. And there's no way that they could have been involved in the church because of the fact the church didn't start till 8 years after Pentecost. And of course, that's when Saul of Tarsus met the Lord and on the road to Damascus. And he was saved. And he was saved as a Jew. Now, if God wanted us to believe the same way the Jews believe, he had took Paul and set him right up there with Peter, James, and John to preach the gospel of the kingdom, that in Jesus is believing in Jesus for salvation. But he didn't do that because he's going to set them aside. He took him down to Arabia, all the way down to Arabia, and he got together with Paul, and that's where the church began in Arabia. It was tremendously important that he get him away from the disciples because he was not going to be involved in Judaism ever again. And he was going to be dealing directly with not just the Jews anymore. He was going to be dealing with Gentiles also. In fact, the majority will be Gentiles from then on. Let's turn to Galatians. Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians and then Galatians. Jesus gave Paul the gospel down there and in Arabia. And the gospel was that Christ died for our sins, that he was buried, and he rose from the dead. See, he pointed not to himself, he pointed to what he did to save our sins. He died on that cross. If he hadn't died on that cross, we'd still be in our sins. You see, that's what saved us. And so that's what he pointed to be salvation for the body of Christ, this new church that he was going to develop. And Paul was going to be the apostle of it. And he was going to be the head of it. Christ is the head of our church. And we are the body. And Paul was the apostle to it. And so Paul says, where do you think I got this gospel from? And look what he says in Galatians chapter 1, verses 11. He says, I make known unto you, Galatians chapter 1, verses 11, I make known unto you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not after man. For neither did I receive it from man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus is the one who pointed for the gospel for salvation. Don't you think he has a right to do that? You know, he didn't say, believe in me for salvation. He didn't say, take me as your Savior. He didn't say, take me in your heart. He said, believe the gospel. And the gospel is that Christ died for your sins, that he was buried, and he rose from the dead. How important is that? How important is that? While we're here, we're in Galatians. Just look what it says. Galatians chapter 1, verses 8. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than which ye have preached unto you, let him be accursed. He says it again, verse 9. As we say before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which you have received, let him be accursed. I don't know how it could be any plainer how important this gospel is. And the teachers and the preachers of this day, they never even mention the gospel. I've been in church all my life, and I'm a 71-year-old man, and I have yet to hear the gospel preached. and never have heard it. All I ever heard was take Jesus as your Savior. Believe in Jesus. Take Jesus in your heart. And that's not the gospel. You see, when Cain and Abel were told to sacrifice, you know, Abel, he brought a sacrifice to God. And he accepted it. But when Cain brought his sacrifice, it was a grain sacrifice, see. And he would, God would have nothing to do with it, you see. You know, but he rationalized, well, it's my best I can give, so I'm not going to go buy one from Abel and buy a lamb. I'm going to use what I have. And he ought to take it. Well, see, he didn't take it. And you see, he's not going to take any other salvation than the gospel. Because that's what he gave us for salvation. And he's not going to take anything else. That's just the way it is. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 15. Turn to 1 Corinthians 15. You see, we're talking about sin. See, we're talking about sin. And this the gospel is what takes away our sins. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and gives us salvation. Let's look at it. Now, when Paul is writing this, he's writing it to the Corinthian church. They're already believers. He calls them brethren. It says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. Not a gospel. This is the gospel for salvation. And there's no other gospel. This is it. This is the gospel that I preached unto you, and which also you received, and which you stand. They believed it, they received it, and they stood on it. And they were saved. Totally saved. It says, by which also you are saved. See? If you want to be saved, you best believe this gospel. He says, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. You see, this is something you got to really believe. This isn't something that you just go in one ear and out the other. This is salvation. This is tremendously important. There's nothing more important in your whole life than these next few words. Because if you don't believe this for your salvation, you're going to be lost and you'll find yourself in the lake of fire. There's no ifs, and buts about it. Look what it says. For I delivered unto you first of all, from which I also received, that Christ died for your sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and he rose again on the third day, according to the Scriptures. That's the gospel. That's the gospel for your salvation. Nothing else. It didn't say nothing about believing in Jesus. It didn't say nothing about taking Jesus as your Savior. It didn't say anything about taking Jesus in your heart. This is the gospel. That Christ died for your sins, that he was buried, and he rose from the dead. When you truly believe that, look what happens next. Let's turn to Ephesians. Back to the right. Go to Ephesians. Ephesians, Galatians, and then Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13. I call this the second most important verse in the Bible, and it's almost the most important. It's fantastic. Let's start with verse 12. It said, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth. What's the word of truth? The gospel. When you ever hear Paul, when you're studying his epistles, when he talks about truth, he's always talking about the gospel. And when he's talking about the power of God, it's always about the gospel. Because it's, you know, in Romans 1:16 says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation for those that believe. Power of God. He's talking about the gospel, and he's talking about when you believe. When the truth of the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after you believed what? The gospel of your salvation, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. This is the most important thing can ever happen to you. Once you believe the gospel, you're sealed with the Holy Spirit. You see, we're talking about a sin problem. You see, the world don't understand it. And the people all the way from Adam all the way up to Christ and all the way up to us, they don't understand this sin problem that we're involved in. We've got a sin nature. And we just, you see, It's a battle constantly. But he has solved this sin problem. When you believe the gospel, you're sealed with the Holy Spirit, the promise. That's God living in you. That's Christ living in you. And he won't leave you. He will guide you. He will direct you. He'll direct your path. He'll never point you to sin. That's why we don't need rules and regulations. He'll only point us to a closer walk with him. It's that sealing of the Holy Spirit is what done away with the sin problem. You see, when you have God living in you, you don't want to sin. That's the last thing you want to do. It's almost like, well, you know, you have a vegetable that you don't like. I don't like Brussels sprouts. And I see them on the menu many times. Do I ever order them? That's the last thing I'm going to order. You see? And that's how I think about sin. That's the last thing I want to do. And if everybody had the Holy Spirit and the last thing they want to do is sin, we wouldn't have a sin problem in this world. We wouldn't have a sin problem. And if we do make a mistake, the grace of God is there to pick us up. Just like a child that falls down and mom and daddy will pick it up and draw him closer to you. We are totally kept by the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's look about this. Let's read this on what it says. It says, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. It is the earnest of our inheritance. We have a huge inheritance in heaven. We don't have time to talk about that now. But until the redemption of the purchased possession, what does that mean? Until we are redeemed, we're the purchased possession. Until we are redeemed, see, until God takes us home, he's got us. And we're never going to be lost. We are never going to be lost because we were until the redemption of the person, until we are redeemed, if Jesus comes back in the rapture or he takes us home in death, we are sealed and there's no way we can ever lose our salvation. How wonderful. How wonderful it is. Let me show you how important this salvation, this Holy Spirit is that we're in. Let's go into Romans chapter 8. Back to the left. To Romans chapter 8. This is just fantastic. This is the end of sin for mankind when they're sealed with the Holy Spirit. I mean, the problem is gone away with. It says, if any man, it says, verse 9, Romans chapter 8, verses 9, but you are not in the flesh, but you're in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his, you see. And that's what happens to people when they believe that Jesus is their Savior. That's not salvation. Thus, they don't have the Holy Spirit, and they're not saved. I thought I was saved my whole life, but I wasn't, because when I believed the gospel, I mean, the Holy Spirit came on me so fast that I didn't even have to think twice. I mean, all of a sudden, I was studying the Bible and I could understand it. Before, I could only last 3 or 4 minutes and I didn't know what I read when I got done reading it. But when I received that Holy Spirit, it's just like adding 100 IQ points to me. And 10 hours later, I was still studying, and I've been studying 10 hours a day almost every day since then. It's just beyond my imagination what God has done in my life. And has changed my life totally. I am a new creation in Christ. Old things have passed away, and all things have become new. And that's what happens to everybody who receives the Holy Spirit. I like this verse. Turn to to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. And look what Paul says. This is what we got to do, and this is what's important. We got to do this. In verses 5, he says, "Examine yourself." I'm asking you folks out there and on the internet to examine yourself whether you're in the faith. You see, I always thought I was in the faith, but I didn't know the gospel. I didn't know it. I had no idea the gospel was salvation. And when I examine, I approve yourself. Know ye not yourself that Jesus Christ is in you? You see, when you believe the gospel, You're sealed with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God. He's the Son of God. He's Jesus Christ. He is the Holy Spirit. They're all one. Is Jesus Christ living in you? If He isn't, what had to say? Unless you're discredited. Most important thing in the world, and that's the answer to the sin problem. That's the answer to the sin problem for this world. Is God living in you? You see, Abraham didn't have that. Isaac didn't have that. Jacob didn't have that. You see, and everybody up till now, until Paul preached this gospel, they didn't have the Holy Spirit living in them. And sin was always a problem. But now we can. And all we have to do to get it is to believe the gospel. Ephesians 1:13. As soon as you believe the gospel of your salvation, for your salvation, however you want to say it, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And guess what happens? Guess what happens when you do that? And this is just really, really something. Let me show you. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians. We're in 2 Corinthians. Turn to 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And let's look at 17. It says, therefore, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. You see, when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we become a whole new creation. Totally. Because we've got God living in us. And when you have God living within you, your old things, I don't care what kind of a sin debt you're in problems with. I don't care what it can be. I don't care what your background is. I have no matter what it is, when you believe the gospel and you're filled with the Holy Spirit, when God comes into you, He's going to make you. He's going to do it, see. He's going to do it. He's going to make you a whole new creation. Nothing that we do. It's all what He does. That's what the grace of God is all about. Grace means unmerited favor. We don't do nothing for our salvation. And we don't even do nothing after we're saved, because God does it all. He, by working through us. All we do is follow His lead. If we fall off the path, He'll bring us right back, because it's up to Him to keep us until the day of our redemption. It's up to Him to keep us. And it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. What's passed away mean? That means when somebody's passed away, they're dead. That's how we believe it. We believe that our old sin nature was crucified on that cross with Jesus Christ. We believe that in our heart. And we believe that when He rose from the dead, we became this new creation. Old things have passed away, and all things become new. Man, in my life, everything has become new. It is beyond my imagination what has happened to me just in the last 6 months of my life since God called me to teach the gospel. It just blows my mind to see the people who are coming to know Jesus because of the gospel. And they never heard it before, just like I never heard it before. And thousands of people now are listening to this, and it's hard to even comprehend. And all I can do is praise God every day. Every day I praise God for what He's doing. It is mightily working through me. It has nothing to do with me. It's what God does through me. It's what's beyond my imagination. He's doing it all, because I'm just taking it out of His book. I'm just taking it out of His Word. There's nothing here that I'm saying. It's all what God is saying. We become a total new creation. Now let's look over. Let's turn over to First Thessalonians, First Thessalonians, Ephesians, and then Philippians, Colossians, and let's go to First Thessalonians chapter 5, and look what it says in verse 23. This just blows my mind. I got to slow down for you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. It says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly." That wholly means totally. It's not holier than thou. It's just totally. You're totally sanctified. It houses you. And I pray, God, that your whole spirit and soul and body, that you couldn't be any more. I mean, that's all of us. Soul, spirit, and body. Be preserved. You see, to be preserved. This is what happens to us when you believe the gospel and you're filled with the Holy Spirit. You are preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus. Blameless. We are blameless until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. When is that? That's when at the rapture or when we die. But we're going to be totally preserved, blameless until the coming of the Lord. Now look what verse 24 says. Faithful is he that calleth you. Who is the one that called us? You see, Christ is the one that opens up our hearts. I mean God, excuse me. God is the one who opens up our hearts. He opens our hearts so we can understand this word. We can't do it on our own. He does. He opens your heart that you can understand the gospel. He does it. And not only that, he will also do it. Do what? Preserve you blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He will do it. Has nothing to do with you. He's going to do it. He will keep you. He keeps you. We don't work to be kept. He keeps you. He guides you. He directs your path. He walks with you. He talks with you. He's just with you constantly. Is Jesus living with you like that? Oh, I pray, fellas, that people, that you would just understand how important this is and that you would believe the gospel for your salvation, because that's exactly what God told us to do. And he expects you to do it. He expects you to do it. Turn real fast to 1 Thessalonians. To 2 Thessalonians. Just go to the next chapter over and read this. Verse 7. And to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance upon them who know not God and obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. If you don't obey the gospel, if you do not believe the gospel when God tells you to do it, when Jesus told Paul to preach the gospel for the salvation of the church, and when he did, and you do something different, you're just like Cain. And look what happened to him. Look what happens to you if you don't obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look what happens. You will be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and the glory of his power. Father, I just pray that people would wake up and they'd realize the importance of the gospel before it's too late. Just open their heart so somehow, some way they would truly understand, and they will not ever have to worry about the lake of fire or hell or any place like that. They would be free from the wrath of God totally and with Christ living in them. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.